Hey, everybody. Marissa is too sick to sit up right now, and so I thought maybe I'll give her the week off. But just to keep you interested, we are going to take from behind the Patreon paywall a Pete Ruins a Movie episode loosely related to today's holiday. So if you like it, you can consider contributing to our Patreon, and if you don't like it, you can come on back next week for a free episode in the main feed in our regular format. If there's a movie that you've heard of but don't really feel like watching because it looks like it could be bad, but something about it made it seem like you could watch it, maybe, but you really can't see yourself watching it, then you need Pete. It's time for Pete Ruins a Movie. Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Pete Ruins a Movie. I'm Pete, and the movie I'm ruining today is called My Bloody Galentine. What's great about this is that it's from the mind that gave you Deadly Dilf. Oh. Both of these are Tubi originals, and the writer, Eliza Hayes Marr, also wrote Dress for Success. That was the third, so her triumvirate with Tubi is complete. What I mean to say is, I'm really jealous of this woman, and I wish that I was writing movies for Tubi. So before I start telling you about the movie, you have to understand that this is a screwball comedy slash thriller that is presented as a horror movie. There is a killer, and the kills can be gory, but it's mostly a tense buddy comedy. And this is one of my favorite parts of Tubi. They make movies that defy genres. They're not always good movies, but they defy genres nonetheless. In this one, the main character is Jaden. She's an excitable American expat in London. She came to the UK for two reasons. She says that it's mostly for her job at a Goop knockoff called Glow, but she really came to be with her boyfriend, Ryan. Did Ryan ask her to come?
No.
So he makes a date with her, orders champagne, they order steak, and then he dumps her. And she can't believe it.
Are you breaking up with me? But I just moved to London to be with you. And Valentine's Day, my favorite holiday, is in 2 weeks.
I have not met a single person in my 40 years of life who says that Valentine's Day is their favorite holiday. I don't even know people who would place it in the top three. Anyway, after she gets dumped, she has a violent fantasy about killing Ryan right there in the restaurant. But it's nothing more than fantasy. She's not a murderer. Right? Oh, no, wait. She is a murderer because she showed up at work wearing a beret. So she is slicing up fashion trends left and right. At this point, she's just gotten to work. It's about 10 minutes into the movie, and I wanted to let you know that from the opening titles until now, we've heard four almost full-length songs as part of the soundtrack. They're used for transitions, but they're all at least 90 seconds, and a scene transition doesn't take 90 seconds. So the movie's starting to come across like a really bad concept album video. Anyway, let's meet some characters. We'll start with Dominique. She is the boss at Glow. She is very posh, and everyone fears/respects her. But they don't seem to like her behind her back. No real reason other than she's the boss. Brandy works in branding. Isn't that cute?
Oh my god, that is funny!
Brandy has a mean streak, though, and we can see that right off the bat. Also, the actor that portrays her, one Cassie Clare, is really, really, really expressive. She's got like a Jim Carrey-level rubbery face of emotions. At times it's frightening, but I don't hate it. Alex is a copywriter who's pals with Brandy. And when things go down later, Alex represents the moral gray area. She has her limits of cruelty, but she's a catty bitch on the inside. Tristan is a flamboyant man who is Brandy's competition at work. They used to be friends, but now they're competing for the CEO position or something like that. Maybe CIO, CFO, whatever. He's always popping up when the girls think that they're alone. Giselle is someone who works there too. She seems to be like an intern-level employee. It's also worth noting that Jaden's mom wants her to come back to the U.S., and we meet her by way of phone calls. So now back to the story. Brandy and Alex comment on the beret immediately. So I like them because I don't like the beret. Who's the catty bitch now, Pete? This guy.
Kitty has claws.
Meow.
So Glow is planning a Valentine's party where they want to invite all the influencers and give each one of them an LED light therapy mask. Some new product from the company. The lights are in the mask, not on the outside, just in case you've never seen one before. It looks to me like a mask a killer could wear, too. And the first person that we see in one is Giselle. At the Valentine's party meeting, Jaden begins to sob and runs out of the room, even though she, Alex, and Brandy were tasked with organizing the party. Jaden's crying because she got dumped. And later we find Jaden eating by the water, still in a beret, and she is joined by Alex and Brandy, who have something in common with her, after all.
Did you guys really get dumped too, or were you just being nice?
3 days ago.
7.
Really? There must be something in the air. It's kind of weird that we all got broken up at the exact same time.
She doesn't know.
Know what?
It's the pre-Valentine's Day clean-out, babe.
What?
Happens every year.
What are you talking about?
How long have you been in the dating world, Jaden?
I don't know, like 3 years?
That is.
What?
Have you ever dated a guy around October the 1st and had it last through Valentine's Day?
You're right! How did I not see this before?
With all three planners not really into Valentine's Day, the party is turned into a Galentine's party by Dominique. But as it pertains to their exes...
You guys aren't heartbroken. What's your secret?
We don't get sad.
No. We just get revenge.
Brandy's ex is the head of HR at Glow. He's a dog of a man who tries to bang every woman in the movie. So Brandy fantasizes about killing him when she sees him flirting with someone. Among his faults is vanity. Alex's ex, Sunny, is a chef at a Michelin star restaurant. His big secret is that he gets his recipes off of the internet but pretends that they're his own. And Jaden's ex, Ryan, is a fitness influencer who's just starting to make it big. He might own a gym, too. I'm not really sure, but it wouldn't matter anyway. The revenge begins with an article seeded by Alex and Brandy about Sunny stealing recipes from the internet. The shame will drive Sunny mad. But when Jaden expresses concern over Sunny's future, the other ladies say that men just have to issue an apology video and everything's forgiven.
I don't know about that.
So the wheels are in motion. Next up is Ryan. Except Ryan calls Jaden, and she is happy to welcome him with open arms. He asks if he can come by her apartment later, and so Jaden decides that she wants to call off the whole revenge thing. But then she comes home to find Ryan looking for his protein drink shaker bottles with Lily, a sort of gym bunny who is with Ryan now. Oh my God. How did he move on that fast? At any rate, Jaden is in on the revenge plan now. There's no turning back. But elsewhere, after being exposed...
Success!
Sunny is smoking a cigarette on a break at the restaurant when a cloaked figure approaches him from behind. In fact, the only thing that you can see clearly is that they're wearing an LED face mask.
Yeah, you mentioned that.
The killer cuts his throat and leaves him in an alley. Weirdly, he's reported missing but not found dead. So maybe somebody moved him, but he's a big guy. Anyway, now it's time to get Ryan. Ryan's going to be hosting a live stream workout soon. But as much as he loves his protein shakes, he's actually lactose intolerant. In a very drawn-out scene, Jaden replaces his bottle with one that has milk in it. Oh my God, he's pooping his pants on the live stream alongside Lily, his girlfriend.
Mother of God, it's all toilet sound.
Success.
Now, for each of these revenge plots, Tristan has either witnessed or overheard the planning of it. He's like a busybody, and it's suspicious that he always follows his female coworkers around outside of work hours, or, yeah, during work hours, too. Anyway, we get the call that Sonny's been found dead. Or maybe it's on the news. I can't remember. Brandy is pretty flippant about it, which raises suspicion. How could she be so callous? That night, Jaden also gets a mysterious box of chocolates outside of her apartment door. She opens it and pops one into her mouth immediately.
Damn, who raised you?
And then she finds a note that says, "Revenge is sweet, isn't it?" She spits the chocolate out and is shaken. When she asks Brandy and Alex about it at work, they say they don't know anything about it, but Brandy admits that she sent them as a joke. And off to the side, we see Giselle listening in to the whole conversation. Tristan then goes to Dominique to rat out the girls because they're planning revenge on work hours. And she's, well, let's say she's receiving oral pleasure from under the desk. But the problem with this scene is that the desk that she's sitting at doesn't have a front where somebody would hide. And so we just have to pretend that Tristan, who's standing right in front of her desk, can't see what's going on. In the end, Dominique dismisses Tristan, and we learn that the HR guy was under the desk, so...
Peekaboo, I see you!
In the meantime, Jaden meets Luca, a photographer for the company, and Alex meets some guy who sells juices? I don't really know. Brandy hasn't met anybody, and she is not happy for her friends.
Hoes before bros.
Cut to the gym, where Ray, after, I guess, wiping out his pants, gets strangled by the masked killer. Jaden is distraught when she finds out that he's dead on the news. And then the next story says that they found Sonny's body too. There's also like an ongoing gag where the reporter for all of these stories is like eating something while he's doing his live feeds. I don't really know what it's about, but it does give the reporter much more depth than you would think. So let's take a moment now to evaluate our suspect list. Is the killer Dominique? Maybe. But we really haven't seen her very much. Is it Tristan? Well, I don't think that the killer is as flamboyant as Tristan, though the killer does wear a cloak, so it seems like it might match his fashion sense. Brandy, I just feel like it's too obvious. She's totally the most unstable of the trio, but I would hope that Tubi would give us a little bit less of a predictable ending. Jaden, the main character. I mean, it would be wild if she was the killer. I'm a big fan of this theory. But Alex is too middle for this. Like, she's the balance between the innocence of Jaden and the craziness of Brandy. So it would throw her character completely off to be a killer, and it would also, like, throw the dynamic of the group off. Giselle is a solid pick. She's been in the background the whole time, like a Scooby-Doo type of villain, so it wouldn't be surprising if, you know, they unmasked the killer and it was her. Luca, honestly, who gives a shit about Luca? His name is Luca. Like, he can't be a killer. There's only one famous killer named Luca, and that guy was Canadian. The Juice Man? Even less so. This guy's boring. He's not a killer. And our last suspect is Jaden's mom, who would be the best option, if you ask me. I don't think it's her, but it would be kind of cool if Jaden's mom traveled to Europe just to start murdering men so that her daughter would come home. At this point, I'm saying that if Tristan dies within 10 minutes, then I'm going to put all my money on Dominique. Although, in the next scene, Brandy shows us that she has one of those masks, because the movie really wants us to think that she's the killer. At the same time, while working on the Galentine's party, all alone, at the venue, the killer comes for Alex. Oh no! But we don't see her get killed. Hint, hint. Brandy then pops in at Jaden's apartment, where she comes clean. She actually didn't send the chocolates, and she also knows that she doesn't handle death appropriately. But just as she and Jaden start to bond, a text comes through. It says, 3 down, 2 to go.
I got this right before you showed up.
What does this mean? 2 more what?
Well, I would assume 2 more murders.
Well, are we the 2?
I don't know, God!
No, wait! No, it can't be us, because with Alex, there's 3 of us.
Hmm? Yeah, it's true.
Wait, Sonny, Ray, Brett?
3 men down, 2 to go. Luca.
Colby?
Okay, no, I agree with Alex. We really need to call the police.
And say what?
So that night is the night of the big Galentine's party. Brandy and Jaden show up because they want to look for Alex, but they find Dominique instead, and somehow they figure that she's the killer. All the influencers are having a ball, and Dominique is running an auction to sell off Luca and the Juice Man as dates. I don't really know what's going on, but her plan is to put the 2 guys in one spot on the stage and then have a light fall from the rig onto them and kill them. So the killer is indeed Dominique. I want it to be because she's in love with all 3 of them and she wants a polygamous group relationship. That would be a really stupid ending, wouldn't it? That'd be a really stupid reason, right? Well, how about this for a stupid reason?
You know, no one ever thinks about their dear sweet boss when they're planning all these fun activities.
Going out to dinner. Rounding up the girlies for happy hour. Plotting revenge on their ex-boyfriends.
You know about that?
Are you guys actually real boyfriends with her? Oh, no, babes. We just make her think we are. It's a symbiotic relationship, like whales and barnacles in the ocean. It was this.
Darling, that was all just innocent banter.
Please! Nobody is innocent. We all make our choices, Alex, and you made yours. And it landed you here. With me.
But Dominique can't do it alone. She actually needs some help, and she gets it from Tristan, because he gives off, like, total sub vibes.
And her name is Dom. Do you understand the connection?
Tristan is supposed to cut the rope that makes the light fall, but our girls stop him, and I think the light ends up falling on Tristan somehow, but who cares? They're in hot pursuit of Dominique, who is having an emotional breakdown. But then Giselle shows up and knocks her ass out. Dominique is arrested, and the girls dismiss Luca and the Juice Man, and they are BFFs. Except that 6 months later, their new boss arrives, and it's Dominique's twin sister. Tubi may well make a sequel to this with this kind of setup. I don't think it ever matters whether a movie quote-unquote does well on Tubi. If they have the money, they'll make another one. So recently on the main podcast, I talked about that one boss that Marissa had at her worst job who started a business so that he could make people hang out with him every day. And it turns out that's kind of what happened in this movie. I think it's absurd, ridiculous, and just a little bit sweet that the boss just wanted to be friends with her employees. And since she couldn't be, she wanted to murder everybody. And you know, when you write a movie, you sort of hand it over for production. So I don't know if Eliza Hayes Mayer expected this. I think I said Mar before, but it's more like Mayer. I don't know if she expected this to be as funny as it is. But it really feels like a movie where people had fun making it. Though the comedy is so sort of over the top at times that it isn't as funny as they think it is. It's almost like you're watching something that people tried to make funny rather than something that was funny. In the end, I wanted to get this up sooner so that you could listen to it for Valentine's Day, but gosh, I had to wait for it to come out, which was, I believe, the day before Valentine's Day. So, when it comes to My Bloody Galentine, should you see it? If you have time to kill, why not? I would liberally fast forward through some of the middle scenes just because it takes a little while for stuff to happen. I really feel like the whole gym sequence could have been done in 3 minutes, but it probably took 15. Still, as I said, it's a fun movie to watch because people seem like they're having fun while making it. And really, when you come down to it, who wouldn't enjoy a movie where somebody just wants to be friends and since they can't be, they murder a bunch of people? It's a stark reminder for us to be kind to other people in our lives and to make room for people to be friends, even if sometimes they might be a lot of work.
You mean she's crazy.